on to build world's tallest concrete dam in western province of Lorestan. Iran urges the UN chief to investigate use of chemical arms by foreign-backed militants in Syria. Tehran criticizes the Arab League for giving Syria's seat to foreign-backed rebels. Taliban militants claim to have killed and injured over 40 US-led soldiers in Afghanistan. And two more mosques and dozens of homes are destroyed in fresh attacks on Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, Iran will build the world's tallest concrete dam in western province of Lorestan. The works for construction of the 325-meter-high dam will start in a ceremony on Wednesday in the presence of a group of senior officials. The dam is designed to build hydroelectric power plant to generate 1,500 megawatts of electricity. Once fully operational, the power plant will create 3,000 gigawatts of power annually. Construction of the dam also aims to control 5 billion cubic meters of water at Dez and Bakhtiari rivers. Now, Iran's foreign minister has called on the UN chief to dispatch an investigation team to probe the use of chemical arms by foreign-backed militants in Syria. In a Tuesday letter to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, Ali Akbar Salehi emphasized that the terror act represents a major threat to international peace and security and an open violation of global norms, particularly the Chemical Weapons Convention. The Iranian foreign minister reiterated that the Islamic Republic, as the greatest victim of chemical weapons, censures this inhuman crime and expects all governments and international organizations, including the UN, to quickly and clearly condemn this inhumane atrocity. In the letter, a copy of which was also forwarded to the UN Security Council, Salehi also reiterated the need for indiscriminate and effective execution of Chemical Weapons Convention regulations, particularly the total abolition of such weapons of mass destruction by those that still possess them. At least 25 people were killed and 86 others injured after militants fired missiles containing poisonous gas into Aleppo's Khan al-Assad village on March 19th. Women and children were among the victims. Now, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs has criticized the Arab League for giving Syria's seat to foreign-backed opposition, warning that the move would set a dangerous precedent in the Arab world. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said this hasty decision can turn into a new procedure and be applied to other Arab League member states in the future. In November 2011, the Arab League suspended Syria's membership, though Damascus is a founding member of the organization. It consequently called on the opposition National Coalition on March 6th to form an executive body to take up Syria's seat at the AL summit, scheduled for Tuesday in the Qatari capital of Doha. Damascus has censured the decision and condemned the Arab League for giving the country's seat to terrorist groups. Amir Abdullahian also advised Arab leaders to end their silence toward the Zionist regime's aggression and crimes and focus their efforts on supporting the Palestinian people. Now, at least three people have been killed and many others injured in a terrorist car bombing in the Syrian capital, Damascus. According to Syria's official news agency, Sana, the victims are all civilians. It was not immediately clear that how many people were injured in the blast. The car bombing came hours after several mortar rounds hit the Syrian capital, killing a child and wounding several others. Earlier on Tuesday, at least three people were killed and five others were injured in a mortar attack near the headquarters of Sana News Agency in Damascus. Meantime, Syrian troops managed to retake control of Baba Amr neighborhood in the central city of Homs on Monday following 2 weeks of fierce fighting. Syria has been experiencing unrest for 2 years and many people, including large numbers of army and security personnel, have been killed in the turmoil. Several international human rights organizations have accused the foreign-sponsored militants groups of committing war crimes. Now, Taliban militants claim that at least 40 US-led soldiers have been killed or injured in a car bomb attack in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province. According to the Taliban spokesman, the attack was carried out on Monday night when an explosive-laden vehicle targeted a joint US-Afghan base in the southern part of the war-torn country. The US-led forces confirmed the incident, but they gave no report on the exact number of casualties or the soldiers' nationality. The deadly attacks come on the second day of a visit to Afghanistan by US Secretary of State John Kerry. The increasing number of military casualties in Afghanistan has caused widespread anger in the United States and other NATO member states, undermining public support for the Afghan war. The US-led war in Afghanistan removed the Taliban from power, but insecurity continues to rise across the country despite the presence of thousands of US-led troops. And before we continue, here is a recap of our top stories. Iran to build the world's tallest concrete dam in western province of Lorestan. Iran urges the UN chief to investigate use of chemical arms by foreign-backed militants in Syria. Tehran criticizes the Arab League for giving Syria's seat to foreign-backed rebels. Taliban militants claim to have killed or injured at least 40 US-led soldiers in Afghanistan. And two more mosques and dozens of homes are destroyed in fresh attacks on Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. As I just mentioned, two mosques and dozens of homes have been destroyed in fresh attacks on Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. Earlier on March 20th, extremist Buddhists attacked dozens of homes and mosques in the central town of Meek Tila, where at least 40 people were killed and 12,000 people were displaced totally during 3 days of violence in the town. The UN's top advisor on Myanmar toured Meek Tika on Sunday and called on the government to punish those responsible for the tragedy. Hundreds of Rohingyas are believed to have been killed and thousands of others displaced in attacks by Buddhist extremists. Myanmar's government has been accused of failing to protect the Muslim minority. Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have also issued separate statements calling on Myanmar to take action to protect the Rohingya Muslim population against extremist Buddhists. Now, thousands of protesters rallied toward the presidential palace and parliament in the Cypriot capital on Tuesday. The protest rally took place as high school students joined demonstrators to show their opposition to the recent bailout that was approved by Nicosia. This comes as banks stayed shut for the 11th day in fear of people's rush on their deposits. They will remain closed until Thursday, when controls will be imposed to prevent depositors from pulling out all their funds. Meantime, Bank of Cyprus' staff moved their protest from the headquarters to the central bank to demand the governor's resignation over the banking crisis and clarification about the banking reconstruction deal clinched with international lenders.
There is no going back. Tomorrow the banks have to open. We have made mistakes, or the big powers to be have made mistakes. But now is not the time to make devious decisions behind boardroom doors, bringing in people to try and break the biggest bank of Cyprus.
Everyone's to blame for me, and they need to get up and they need to go to jail. The people that are to blame, we want them to go to jail for because of our future. We have our lost future.
This is not going to happen, what they're saying, and we want our money back because we're still students and our future's in their hands, and we want when we grow up to find a place and go work.
Now, France's jobless rate is expected to hit its highest level in over 15 years as the Eurozone's second biggest economy stagnates. France is struggling with a relentless rise in unemployment, already above 3 million, piling pressure on President Francis Hollande, who has pledged to reverse the upward trend by year-end. Official data for the month of February is expected to show the jobless rate touching up to 11%, breaking a 1997 record when unemployment was at 10.8%.
The situation is difficult in the very short term. The end of last year and the beginning of this year is not good for economic prospects. And as a result, we have revised slightly downwards our forecast projections for real GDP growth. And we plan now basically no growth for 2013. One very important factor is to maintain that confidence is not only to act on the fiscal front, but to implement deep structural reforms that improve the economy, the prospects of the economy over the long term.
Elsewhere in Europe, Spain's central bank says the country will sink deeper into recession with a high unemployment rate, as the economy is set to contract again this year. The Bank of Spain's annual report, published on Tuesday, showed that the economy is set to contract again by 1.5% this year, following a 1.4% contraction last year, before starting to recover in 2014. The technical indicator of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth as measured by a country's gross domestic product. The contraction is attributable to the looming effects of EU austerity measures, which have intensified domestic problems, including a rampant unemployment crisis. The bank predicted that the unemployment rate will hit new record highs of over 27%. Battered by the global financial downturn, the Spanish economy collapsed into recession in the second half of 2008, taking with it millions of jobs. The Spanish government has been sharply criticized over its austerity measures that are particularly targeting the middle and working classes. And finally, Spanish scientists say they have developed a vaccine which temporarily slows the growth of the HIV in patients infected with the virus which causes AIDS. The team has produced a vaccine which reduces the level of HIV in patients' blood by 90% after 12 weeks of vaccination. The new vaccine is therapeutic, so it is aimed at treating rather than preventing the disease.
When it comes to HIV, the problem with dendritic cells is that they present the immune system live and viable viruses which end up destroying it. In the vaccine we have prepared, what we do is we stimulate the dendritic cells with viruses from the patients. The viruses have been previously inactivated by heat, and when we present the inactivated viruses to the immune system, they cannot destroy the immune system. To sum it up briefly, the vaccine prototype we have used in our last study in 2013 is not capable of preventing the reappearance of the viral load when the treatment ends, but it reduces the reappearance of the virus between 10 and 15 times. And this is a conceptual proof that a therapeutic vaccine could work.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye.